Welcome to the People of Portland and Beyond, episode 37. Got Odie in studio with me today from Baby Blue PDX. It's a pop-up pizza shop. Have you done this pop-up pizza shop before? Or is this your first year doing it?
This is the first year, actually. The first one we did was on May 5th of last year, so the one-year anniversary is coming up, and we have a pop-up coming up on that day at Rogue Brewing in Southeast.
Okay.
Yeah.
How'd you get involved with Rogue Brewing?
Honestly, like, when we book the pop-ups, we just kind of, like, reach out to different places that we'd be like, that would be a place we think people would go. So we've done it at bars before, at restaurants, like, mostly in Southeast. We've done it, like, DC Vegetarian, Side Street Tavern.
Yeah.
You know, just different places. It started, when we started doing it, the first one was just in our friend's backyard. Like, they have an alleyway behind their house that we did it in. So
was there music?
There was like a Bluetooth speaker. Okay. But not like a live band or anything, and we just kind of offered free beer and pizza, and very people cool. Came
nice. And then would you come up with the name Baby Blue Pizza?
So that is kind of an homage to my favorite show of all time, which is Breaking Bad.
Yeah, and I love that show.
Yeah, like, you know, so Walter White had his Baby Blue or whatever. And yeah. My favorite band is called Twin Peaks, and they have a song called Baby Blue.
Your favorite band?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so.
Where's that band from?
They're from Chicago.
Nice.
They're actually, like, they're crazy, man. They're all, like, young. They're, like, 20, 21-year-olds, and they've released, like, 4 albums, and they, like, tour constantly. They're, like, getting, like, they're pretty big now, for sure.
You know? Do they write songs about Twin Peaks?
They named their band after the show.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, totally. And I don't think they foresaw getting as big as they are now, you know? I think it started as, like, oh, we play shows in backyards.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you Google Twin Peaks, it's like the show is what's going to pop up, you know? It's,
yeah.
But yeah, they're a great band out of Chicago. Kind of like a garage rocky.
Did they ever come out west?
Yeah, they've played a couple places here. Last time I saw them, they did 2 nights at the Doug Fir. I saw them at Star Theater like 4 or 5 years ago, something like that.
Are you a fan of the show as well?
Oh, totally, yeah. I haven't watched like the newer.
I was going to say season 3 was my favorite. So
was it really?
It was. I was so young when the first ones came out that yeah. I didn't really grasp them, and I didn't bother to rewatch them.
Yeah.
So I tried. I was like 4 episodes in. I was like, this is too crazy. The story is, I'm going to have to like study recaps to understand.
Yeah. And there's a lot that goes on.
Yeah, but I figured, then I just jumped straight into the third, and I was like, yeah, I can understand something. And it was brilliant to me. I just really liked the third season.
I need to watch that. I got into it because I was playing in a band with these guys who were like obsessed with it, and they were like,
yeah.
So I watched it, I think, like in my early 20s. So I was like a little older. I could kind of understand it, I think. Although I still don't really grasp it that well. It's like,
yeah, it's exactly.
Yeah.
Even like the first season, I read like the original killer was basically, it's like they were writing it as they went along.
Oh, totally.
It was like a guy in the crew. It's like he was caught in reflection in the mirror, and everybody, before the internet, I think everybody was like, oh, I think that guy's the killer.
Yeah.
That guy's name's Bob. And then you end up finding out that they wrote him in. Basically, the fans found him through the mirror, and they just said, yeah, that is the killer, yeah.
That's so interesting. It's almost like a choose-your-own-adventure.
Exactly.
That's so interesting, yeah. I mean, the characters in that are amazing, like the log lady and stuff. Like, they're just really unique writing.
I think so, and I always liked, what's the FBI agent's name?
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's going to kill me if I can't.
I know, right? It's so obvious.
But yeah, he was like, went on to play like the mayor in,
In
Portlandia. Yeah. Yeah.
I always noticed that, and I was like, man, I wish he does Twin Peaks again. And then he did, and it was awesome.
Yeah. It's weird because he, like, the only part of him that's aged is like the color of his hair. He like looks the exact same, but just his hair is gray.
It's true.
Uh-huh.
I think Will Smith, same thing.
Yeah. Except I don't even think he has gray hair. He just, like, still looks the same as he did in, like, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah, you could go right back into a Netflix reunion.
Yeah, like a Fuller House sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, fresher Prince.
Right? As long as he doesn't pull out what Lori Loughlin did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, is it that's so interesting. Like,
right?
Trying to cheat your... Like, they don't... It seems like their kids wouldn't even need to go to college. They're kind of, like, set up for life.
I know.
Like, it's this weird status thing.
Now they're trying to make them look better. They made them look 10 times worse than they could ever have made.
Yeah, right? That's going to be with them for the rest of their life.
I know.
Yeah.
Like, the college... It's funny. No one asked me what college I've ever went. I've graduated college. No one cares.
No one cares.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's not a status. It's a status thing if you say it, I get. Oh, I went to this college.
Yeah. Or you if can you're just like a make doctor that up. Or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I only went to junior college because I was playing in bands after I graduated high school and like touring and doing stuff like that. And that was kind of what I wanted to do. My parents really wanted me to go to college, but that was just never really my thing. I went to a junior college and got like an AA liberal arts degree, which is essentially nothing. So
yeah, I got a bachelor's and had to pay so much money, it wasn't worth it.
Yeah Student debt is a very real thing.
Yeah, actually I get angry when they were like talk about forgiving, and I'm like, no, I had to pay it off, you're gonna have to pay it off as well.
Yeah,
that's not fair.
That's a point that people make where they're like, well, what about the people who paid it off?
Yeah,
and, you know, yeah, I feel for you, man.
It's like, why even bother trying to work my ass out to do it if I could be just saved one day? But I was like, I'm just gonna wait till they forgive the loan.
Yeah, right? A little roll of the dice.
I mean, I think it only applies to government loans, which a lot of my loans are private, so it's like half the people aren't gonna be helped anyways by that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Unless they forgive private loans, which is, I don't know how they could do that, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know if the government has the power to do it.
Yeah.
So it's really complicated. I mean, the whole system, I feel like, needs some sort of, like, revamping.
Yeah, I agree. Do you own any student loans right now?
No. Yeah, I'm lucky like that, where I just went to, like, a community college, and I, like, paid by the credit. It was, like...
It's always frowned upon when you're growing up. Oh, you're going to a community college?
Yeah, it was like, kind of embarrassing for me.
I'm not going to pay $40,000 when I grow up.
Yeah. Are you?
Have fun with that.
I literally, like, would pay at, like, the administration's office, go there, and it was, like, $30 a credit, and I'd...
Per credit.
Yeah, so it was like so cheap.
Yeah.
You know, relatively speaking, it was accessible for me at least. And yeah, I was mostly doing it to appease my parents. But yeah, I ended up with a AA in liberal arts. So nice. Doesn't necessarily apply in the pizza making industry, but you know.
Yeah. Back to pizza. So May 5th, you're going to be at Rogue Brewing.
Yeah, May 5th from 2 to 6. They're pretty cool down there. I've been in contact with this guy named Teddy, really nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're gonna have three different pizzas there. We've at different pop-ups, we've had different amount of pizzas we do.
Yeah.
In the beginning, we were trying to do a fuller menu, like we'd do five or six pizzas.
Yeah,
but I've kind of learned it's like really hard to prep. And we'd end up wasting a lot of food and like setting up a restaurant and tearing it down all in the same hour or all in the same day is kind of difficult. And like,
yeah,
simplifying that is, helps us a lot, you know, and it can kind of like, we can be more intentional about the pizzas we offer. It's not just like a regular old thing, you know, it's kind of like, we try and keep them interesting, I guess you could say.
Yeah, where do you get inspired by, like, the toppings you do?
You know, since we do, like, all vegan pizza, we try and, like, do unique things. Honestly, a lot of it is my girlfriend and I just brainstorming and then trial and error at our house. We have, like, a little wood-fired oven in our backyard.
Yeah.
So we'll just, like, yesterday we made, like, four pizzas, like, trying out different ones and... it's kind of a blessing and a curse because we get to eat a ton of pizza, but then we also like eat a ton of pizza. So it's like,
yeah,
you know, a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, we try and do like some traditional ones, like offer like vegan pepperoni and stuff like that. But in my experience so far, people are more inclined to opt for, like, we did a lavender pizza one time that people were really interested in.
Nice.
It was like lavender, garlic, and this agave that we infused with habanero peppers. So it was like a spicy agave.
Very cool.
So yeah, just, you know, interesting stuff like that. A lot of trial and error. A lot of
pears and plums.
Yeah, exactly. Fruit on pizza is something we've been really into recently. The peach jalapeno pizza. People really, really liked that. And my girlfriend's dad sent us a smoker a few months ago, and both of us are vegan, so neither of us eat meat. So we're like, what are we going to smoke on this thing? So we're going to try and smoke like a lot of fruit this summer and, you know, test that whole thing out.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I also see that you did a dog pizza.
Yeah, so that's that was a little tribute to our special little dog, Harvey. Yeah. He's 9. My girlfriend is a tattoo artist, great artist, and
yeah,
she was like, I'm going to make a Harvey pizza. So that was like olives and I think there's like some vegan sausage we made on the nose or something like that. But yeah, Harvey's a Boston Terrier. He's 9. And he basically, him and our cat Benny are pretty much run the house.
Benny, I like.
Yes, yeah, it's short for Eggs Benedict.
Nice.
He's funny. He's about a year old, but he totally runs the show. Like, Harvey's 9, and you can tell that Benny totally has, like, asserted himself as the dominant one in the house. So he, like, you know, kind of smacks Harvey around and whatnot. But he's a good sport.
Does he ever react when...
He'll just be napping, and Benny will come up and, like, smack him on the head a couple of times and run and hide underneath the bed. Yeah. And by the time Harvey, like, understands what's going on, Benny's, like, long gone. Uh-huh. So they have this funny, like, brotherly rivalry thing going on.
Does he react if this Elton John song was to come on suddenly, like Benny and the Jets?
We actually used to live with a guy named Chet.
Yeah.
So we'd always say Benny and the Chet. But, you know, I can't speak for Benny, but I would say that he is a fan of Elton John.
Nice.
You know, everyone has a soft spot in their heart for a little Elton, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I saw this picture of him on his like personal jet, like from the 70s or something. And
yeah,
it was like him and 3 of his friends, and they all look like the coolest people ever. And he's sitting at the piano, and there's like a bartender at like a full bar, and it's like they're on his private jet. I'm like, what a life that they live.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So you made a hot churro pizza?
Yeah, that was... that one was like, you know, cinnamon, sugar, stuff like that. And then we kind of made like a glaze that was kind of could be equated to what you would put on like a Cinnabon.
Yeah.
We've been kind of experimenting with the dessert pizzas because that's kind of something that not a lot of people do.
Yeah.
And that was super easy. It's like earth balance, cinnamon, sugar. I think we put some powdered sugar on there, brown sugar, a bunch of different sugars.
Yeah.
And then like the frosting. It was good. It was super good.
Yeah.
We also messed around with a Nutella pizza, which was cool. We made like homemade Nutella.
Nice.
And that was good. It's just kind of difficult to keep the Nutella warm enough so you can kind of spread it, you know.
Yeah,
you have kind of have to. We have to figure out a way just to keep it in a warmer or something. But
yeah,
yeah.
And you got the box design.
Oh yeah, that was for our little Kickstarter we did to, because we're opening up a cart at the beginning of June.
Yeah,
that's gonna be in Montevilla, and we had to do a bunch of different Kickstarter rewards.
Full time cart.
So we were trying to raise $18,000, and we ended up raising $20,000, which was like. Nice. Blew me out of the water. It's so interesting doing a Kickstarter because there's so many highs and lows where you're like, I think we're going to do this. And then like a minute later, you're like, there's no way we're going to be able to do this.
You yeah.
Know? So one of the things we did to raise money is we were like, if you donate, I think it was like $30 or $25 by the end of today. It was like Thursday. Right. It was like, we will deliver a pizza to you tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did that twice. And that was super cool. Like, I think like 15 people pledged, and so the next day we like whipped up 15 pizzas and put them and boxed them up and nice. Drove all around Portland. It took a long time. I felt kind of bad by like the last 10 to 15 people because the pizzas had been sitting in our car for like, you know, at that point maybe an hour and a half.
Yeah.
But everyone was super nice. Everyone was super cool. It wasn't like they did it because they necessarily really wanted the pizza. I think they wanted to like help out the, you know, they thought it was cool what we were doing. So
yeah,
it's been received pretty well. It was a lot of fun. We planned it poorly though, because we like left our house at like 4 p.m. on like a Friday.
Yeah.
So we were just sitting in traffic for like hours and hours. If we did it another delivery day, I think we would maybe do afternoon pizzas, like, you know, lunchtime pizzas, not dinnertime pizzas.
I saw that Lady Wally's wanted to go. She was a guest on a previous episode. You know her?
Yeah, Molly's great. I used to tattoo, and my girlfriend currently tattoos, and we all worked at the same shop for a while.
Which shop?
It's called The Annex.
Okay.
It was attached to a place called Forbidden. So yeah. Molly actually, she was the manager at Forbidden, and I worked at The Annex, but they were essentially the same shop, like the same people owned it.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend worked there as well, and Molly is a very, very talented tattoo artist and like a very sweet, sweet person. So
yeah,
it's really cool knowing her and like seeing how far she's come. I think the tattoo she did on me was like right when she got licensed.
Okay.
Which was a couple years ago. And I love it. It's amazing. And I get so many compliments on it. And to see her doing amazing work like right out of the gates and still how far she's come, it's like she deserves all the success that comes her way for sure.
No pizza tattoos ever in the future?
No pizza tattoos yet. my arms, I'm kind of running out of space there, but I kind of want to get a pizza tattoo like on my palm right here.
Nice.
I hear that is like the most painful thing ever. But I mean, they all hurt, you know? Yeah. They all hurt in their own different ways. And when I first started getting tattoos when I was like 18, 19, I was like feeling super cool and like tough about it or whatever. And now I'm 31 and I'm just like, why do I do this every time?
Yeah.
It's a weird thing. They're like, I don't know if you have tattoos or not, but they're very much like an addicting thing. You get that itch where you're like, man, I really want to get tattooed. And the smell of a tattoo shop kind of like, you know, puts a little pep in your step.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's an interesting thing. And I really like the culture behind it too. And
how long did you do tattoo work?
A couple of years. Probably like a year and a half. I gave it the old college try. It was really stressful for me. It was like the stakes are just so high. But like it would just like keep me up at night, you know? And I didn't necessarily ever like mess someone's skin up or anything, but I was just like, I really love doing art, and I was like, tattooing is sort of a natural progression there. But it just like, it wasn't for me. I have so much respect for people who can do it, you know?
Yeah.
For me, I was like, you know, I think I want to do something less high stakes, you know? And I've always done service industry stuff because I played in bands for a long time, and that kind of goes hand in hand with working at restaurants. Because you're trying to tour and, you know, you need time off and all that stuff. So,
yeah,
you know, I was like, I really want to do vegan pizza. And my girlfriend Allegra is like the most supportive person in the world. And she's like, all right, well, let's do this and let's do it. Like try and do it really, really well.
Yeah.
So then that was about a year ago and we started doing it, and it's kind of snowballed and picked up, you know, some steam and all that stuff. So it's been really cool. It's been really fun experience.
What instruments did you play in the band?
I played drums.
Oh, you're a drummer?
I'm a drummer.
Still drum?
Yeah, totally. We have like, I play in a band. It's more of a casual thing now. It's not as serious as it used to be about it. Yeah, I used to be like, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. And I was living in Los Angeles, and that was really hard.
Where in L.A.?
In Mid-City. My exit was La Brea off the 10. I don't know how familiar you are.
I was in Silver Lake.
Oh, okay. I worked at a restaurant called Malo off Silver Lake Boulevard.
Very cool.
The bass player from No Doubt owned it. I used to feel so cool when he would come in. He's a rad dude. He's a vegan dude.
Nice.
But yeah, L.A. was tough. How long did you live there?
I don't think more than 2 or 3 years. It got pretty expensive.
Super expensive. And like, it's just tough. Like people who can live there, you know, more respect to you. The thing that kept me there was playing in a band.
Uh-huh.
And once the band kind of broke up, I was like, I had always wanted to move to Portland. You know, I had played shows here, and I always loved it. My brother's family lives up here. And so it was just sort of felt natural after the band broke up. Mm. I went home back to San Diego for a couple months, and then I drove up here with my dog. And then here we are.
Why did you choose Portland?
You know, I had always just been kind of drawn to it. I love the city. I love how it's kind of like this small city. You know, it's like you can get to the mountains so easily. Yeah. It's still, I mean, I know people say it's getting more crowded and more expensive, which is 100% true, but
not as bad as LA.
Exactly. Like from where
it's like a fifth lived. Less crowded than LA.
Yeah, I know. Even when there's traffic, I'm like, it's still not as bad as it was when I was living in LA. Yeah.
And when I'm in New York, same thing. I was in New York and I would travel to visit my brother in New York City, squashed on the subways.
Oh,
traffic
yeah.
So bad.
I've only been in New York one time, and that I was like, this is cool, but I could, like, when I left, I was like, I could never live there. It was, I was there for a wedding, and when I would leave the Airbnb we were staying at, it just felt like a meter was running, that I was just spending money everywhere I went. You know, it was like, if you leave the house, you're just spending money nonstop.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I was drawn to Portland. I really like the seasons, you know. I grew up in Southern California, which was cool. But it's kind of like Groundhog's Day there, where it's, you know, it's sunny and like in the 70s or 80s, like every day. And
yeah,
it was a cool place to grow up. I used to surf a lot and skateboard a lot. But it just wasn't for me.
Yeah.
And I could never afford to move back there. My folks still live down there, but I could really never afford to live down there. So yeah, Portland was kind of like, it just felt natural. And I've loved living here for like 5 years or so. I can't imagine living anywhere else.
Yeah, I tried to move and I came back.
So where did you go to?
Just tried to move back home to New York. And,
yeah.
And also Denver for a month.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I've only been to Denver once, but I thought it was cool.
It was cool, but not to live there.
Yeah.
I need an ocean next to me or something.
Totally. That's how I felt when I went to Austin. Last summer, I was filling in my friend's band, and they played out in Austin. So we went out there, and it was really cool. I liked it a lot. It was like a very spread out Portland. And it was really hot.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it was like you kind of had to take a car to get everywhere. But it was really cool. I liked Austin, but I kind of felt the same thing where it's like, I need to have like a big body of water very close to me.
Yeah.
Even if I can't, like the ocean here, I've only been in up to my knees. It's so cold all the time.
Yeah.
but it's still nice to have it, you know?
True. So what do you think are some stuff that the pizza place gets wrong when they're making pizza around here? Which I noticed a lot wrong.
So this is the thing about pizza, is there are so many different styles of pizza. So it's like they're all kind of their own food in their own right. Like square pies are like huge now. Like they're really big in the pizza scene now.
Yeah.
Wood-fired. And then there's like the electric fired. So there are so many different styles of pizza where it's like you could go to a place like Rudy's, who's doing like, they do a lot of vegan pizza, but what they do is completely different than what like we're trying to do. They do stuff that's more of, you know, if I were to compare them to like a bigger brand, I would say they're sort of like a Domino's. Because they kind of, it's like a thicker, fluffier crust, and it's kind of like we're just throwing a ton of toppings on there. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's like they do a good job for what they're trying to do. A lot of people love them.
That's right.
That's not necessarily what we're trying to do. I would say the thing that got me into making vegan pizza is that a common thread in the pizza industry is people just weren't doing vegan pizza right.
Mm.
It was always like you'd never go to a pizzeria and they'd be like, and our vegan pizza is the main thing that we do. It was always kind of like a side note, like, you know, we can offer this.
Yeah.
And it was like, there are different vegan cheeses out there, and there are some that are great. We use Good Planet, which I love. It's this mozzarella. It's a vegan mozzarella, and it melts, and it stretches, and it tastes a lot like, you know, actual dairy cheese.
Yeah.
There are really good brands like Chow. That's really good. And then there are ones that aren't so great. Like, I would say, like, maybe Daiya cheese is, like, they were kind of... you know, the four, the, you know, they kind of found vegan cheese, but they were like, you know, some of the first people to do it. So when they started doing it, they were good, but you know, the industry has changed and there's a lot more competition. And I would say the common thread that most pizzerias are getting wrong would just be vegan pizza in general.
Yeah.
They're just like, there's not a ton of effort that's put into it, but that's changing, where you go to places like Scotty's, they have a really good vegan pizza. Red Sauce, they make all their cheese in-house, including their vegan cheeses. There's this lady named Lisa who makes the cheese there. She does a fantastic job. I also work at this pizza truck called Gracie's. This guy Craig owns it. So passionate about pizza. Like, his passion is like amazing, and he's like starting to do more vegan pizzas, and he's like, the main thing is I just want it to be really good. I want it to be good first and like vegan second. So it's like, I want people to order it because, not because it's vegan, but because it's really good and it happens to be vegan.
Yeah.
Which I totally understand. So there is a shift in the industry right now that's like, you know, especially in Portland, where it's like, you know, it's so many people are, you know, don't eat meat, don't do dairy here. So pizzerias are kind of reflecting that now, which is cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely. So you met Allegra in Portland?
Or? Yeah, yeah. Interesting, though, because we're both from Southern California, but we met up here at the tattoo shop.
Yeah.
We've been dating for about 3 years, and her help on with, like, everything in Baby Blue, like, it wouldn't be a thing today without her. Like, she's such a personality that is like, well, the... this is what we're doing now. So this is, we're going to do it 110%. This is everything we need to do.
Yeah.
She is like a little workhorse where, you know, she just knows what she wants to accomplish and she's going to accomplish it. And it's been amazing and inspiring having her as like my partner to help with
nice.
It. You know, it's,
yeah,
she's at the pop-up. She's like always, she takes all the orders. In the beginning she was taking the orders and running the food, but that just became too much.
Yeah.
As the pop-ups kind of gained more traction, more and more people started coming.
Uh-huh.
So now we hire two people to help out. So like she takes the orders, I cook the pizza, or I shape and top the pizzas. We have a friend cook the pizza, and then we have someone run it.
Yeah.
So it's a small little operation, but each pop-up we do gets, you know, tighter and tighter and better and better.
Nice.
And yeah, June 1st is... the cart's going to open in Montevilla.
Okay.
Which I'm really excited about. And yeah, you know, that's, I think we're going to do less pop-ups at that point. Okay. We have two more on the books right now, May 5th at Rogue and then May 25th at, Jet Black Coffee.
Okay.
They're out on like 130th. They're next to the new Food Fight. Great coffee spot. Super cool people too. But yeah, after that, the cart opens, and then I'm talking to Ryan at Mayfly about doing a pop-up there sometime in July. But I'm gonna, it was like tentative because like I know so much is gonna go into just making the cart run, you know, smoothly. So I foresee being kind of bogged down by that for a little bit. But yeah, I'm excited. It's things we've been doing it about a year exactly, and I didn't foresee it happening this fast and like gaining this much traction.
Yeah.
But it's been going well.
There was a need for pizza and you filled it.
Yeah, right. I'd like to think that we did. That's why it started off like one night Allegra and I were talking. I think we had just gone to like a Brian Jonestown Massacre show or something. We had gone to this really good show, or maybe it was Slow Dive, and we were just hanging out of the house after and it was late, and I was like, man, tattooing like isn't really my thing, and I'd been really into making pizza just at the house.
Yeah.
And I was like, I kind of want to like see if I could do this. And then she was like, all right, well, let's like freaking do it. And yeah, and then we just started doing it.
Where cool. did you learn like your tips on how'd you make this great pizza?
A lot of internet trial and error, like YouTube. Reading about online, YouTube videos.
Yeah.
There are a ton of great videos and there are also a ton of terrible videos. And I feel like I've seen all of them two times.
Their ingredients are always different too.
Always different. So there are some
people say
who
oil,
purists.
Some say no oil.
Exactly. Some people put sugar with their instant yeast. When I started, I was doing dried yeast as my starter. But now I use a sourdough starter. that my mentor slash friend Craig, who owns Gracie's Pizza, taught me all about like starters and stuff like that. And so now that's kind of the direction that the pizza industry is going. And so that's what I was using now. But like in the beginning, I would watch YouTube videos and they'd be like you said, like add olive oil, you add sugar, you add yeast, you add all these things. And I'm kind of more of the school of thought that, you know, with crust, it's supposed to be just more simple ingredients, less ingredients, I guess you could say. We just use flour, water, salt, and sourdough starter.
Anything at the bottom? Cornmeal or something?
Semolina flour, which is like just a much more fine flour.
Yeah. I've made semolina bread.
Okay. Yeah, totally. Are you a bread baker?
I've made that just as an experiment. I like to try crazy baking stuff sometimes.
Yeah, it's fun.
I like to bake at home.
Uh-huh.
The one thing at home when I'm baking is I won't be able to get the crust to go, like as like those air bubbles. I don't know how to get those.
Yeah,
tips.
A lot of that has to do with like the fermenting time, how long you ferment it, the temperature you ferment it at. Like, do you know Ken Forkish? He does Ken's Artisan Pizza and Ken's Bakery.
I've heard of them.
Yeah. So in his book, he says you need to treat time and temperature also like ingredients when you bake bread.
Yeah.
Which also applies to pizza, because the ferment time is huge. The temperature at which you ferment is huge.
Can't be too hot.
If it's hot, it's going to happen a lot quicker and it's possible to overproof. That's a very real thing. Yeah. With our pizza, we do a longer ferment. We do a bulk ferment overnight in the refrigerator, and then I roll the dough, and then I'll usually do another day in the refrigerator. So like kind of 48 to 72 hour is like the window in which I like to ferment.
Really over a day.
Yeah, totally. Okay. So it's everyone's different about it, but I mean, there are so many variables, which is also pretty cool about it. You know, it's like the way you knead your dough and then how many folds you do on your dough.
Do you knead all the dough by hand?
Yeah. Okay. It's all hand, which is tiring and rewarding, I'd say. I like it a lot. Having a mixer would be cool, but a mixer big enough to do the quantity that we do is like $5,000. So that's kind of maybe down the line, but right now, like doing it by hand totally works. And I like it too. It sounds weird, but you just have a better feel for the dough. And, pun intended. You just kind of, you just know it's all thoroughly mixed, and then you let it rest and you do some folds, you let it rest again, fold, rest, fold. You do that a couple times and then goes right into the fridge for the first bulk ferment. And,
I saw you did some work with Dinger's Deli.
Yeah. Brian at Dinger's is super cool. They had a 1-year anniversary party last month or like a month and a half ago or something. Was that March? Yeah, it was the end of March, March 30th. And they are a completely vegan deli food cart. And so he reached out to me, and I had just met him from going to his cart. He's a really nice guy, like easy to talk to. And he had also been kind of like an encouraging aspect of us doing our thing. And I kind of told him, he was one of the first ones early on to know about it, and he was always super encouraging. And then, I mean, his car is very successful, very busy. They sell out constantly.
Good.
They're so good. And he was having their 1-year anniversary party, and he was like, "Hey, you want to just do a pop up here?" Which was interesting because we had never done a pop up at a food pod before.
Yeah.
Which I was like, I hope people don't get mad. Like the other carts get mad that were there, but I don't think they did because there were so many people that showed up. It was really cool. Like there was raffles and prizes, and there was DJ sets and just a ton of good food, and all of the carts there offered some vegan options. So I think it worked out well for everyone. And the whole like exposure aspect for us was great. Dingers and I did a collaboration pizza. So we used their almond basil ricotta and their ham on one of our pizzas, and that seemed to be the bell of the ball at that one.
So he's got the New York City hat on. So, I mean, those sandwiches look like legit New York sandwiches.
Yeah, right? Like, that's what he's going for. He wanted to be like, I'm doing these
fat New York sandwiches.
Man. Yeah, like a proper deli sandwich, yeah, but it's exactly. All vegan, you know? And he does it really well. And like, you
Is
know.
Is he vegan?
Yeah, they're all vegan.
How's that possible?
I know, right? And they make their own meats. He's a really cool dude, works super hard, and is like all about kind of just inviting people into the community, being a supportive community.
Yeah.
But yeah, I worked at a restaurant called DC Vegetarian, which is another vegan sandwich shop in town. They're actually like a brick and mortar. And they do the same thing where it's like they make all their meats and they, you know, they're trying to do like proper sandwiches that are all vegan, you know? And
yeah,
it's cool because like the idea, it's kind of daunting where it's like, I don't know. When I was like, I want to do 100% vegan pizzas, I was like in my head, like, a lot of people are going to laugh at me and question me and be like, that's a stupid idea. But
not in Portland.
I know, right? but yeah, like people like Dingers and, you know, DC Veg and restaurants like Sudra and stuff like that kind of show you that it's not only is it possible, but there's like a want and a need for things like that.
Yeah.
Especially in Portland.
I think so. And yeah. Bagels are very... I mean, I've thought about starting a bagel shop up because I'm pretty good at making them.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you do like the boiling of the bagels?
I do
stuff?
The boiling and everything. I actually made a People of Portland and just People of Portland because And Beyond was too many, but I made them in bagel shapes.
Oh, you made that.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Yeah, that was me.
That's so... I thought that you might have just paid someone to do that. That's so cool that you did that.
No, it took forever and I was like, I'm not doing that again.
Yeah, I've never made bagels, but I had a friend who worked at Henry Higgins.
I loved Henry Higgins.
Yeah, my buddy Kenny worked there, and
that's so cool.
It's early mornings, you know. You get in there, and because you have to have the bagels ready by the time people show up at 6 a.m. I mean, if you can handle early mornings, people love their bagels.
That's what I was doing. It took like 5 hours in the morning.
Yeah.
I only make bagels once every 2 months or freeze them basically because it's so much work.
Yeah, totally.
Actually was talking to this lady from the Viz Eat app and I was going to do like a bagels and music thing since I'm a musician.
Yeah.
On my rooftop and you charge like person. I was like, well, it was like $5 per person. And I was like, is it really even worth it? Because it's like so much work.
It's a lot. That's the thing is like the price point at Bagel. It's like you can only charge so much.
Exactly.
But I think the key there is like quantity. You're like, I have to sell a lot. Maybe like wholesale or something. If you could, you know.
Right. Maybe if it's per bagel.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the baker's schedule is no joke. That's like That's early true. Mornings, early to bed. But, you know. There's
it's
a
worth
need.
It. I mean, it tastes so good when you bake fresh.
Oh, totally.
I don't know why I haven't gotten into baking bread yet. I've just done bagels and pizza mostly.
Yeah. Bread's fun, but it's, you know, it's tough too. Like, I am still very much a novice bread maker. I definitely make more pizza than I do bread, but I've been really into like focaccia bread recently.
Nice.
Which is nice.
Artisan bread is amazing.
Oh, it's so good. And we have a rosemary bush in our yard, so like rosemary just goes in everything now. And it's so simple. It's like salt, rosemary, and garlic.
I put rosemary on pizza the other day.
Yeah, it's the best. Yeah. That herb is like amazing, and it grows everywhere in Portland. So yeah, it's like bread's fun, and it could be simple, and like you just kind of have to learn about like time and temperature. And if you have an oven that can get hot, you know, most ovens only get to like 550 at the most. And, you know, a lot of times it says 550, but it'll probably be a little lower than that. But
so you want to crank the oven to the max when
especially for pizza. Like a pizza, we cook at like 750 degrees. That's the thing behind the wood-fired oven is it like it can get super hot.
Yeah, that's how you get the crust in the bottom to look like those little brown spots.
Exactly,
coming.
Yeah, the leoparding. Higher temperature is great. But for like wood-fired ovens, if you're baking bread... High temperature is good, but it's really important for like a constant normal temperature, you know? That's why an oven was typically better for bread because there's not so much fluctuation in temperature.
Uh-huh.
Wood-fired ovens, you know, it'll fluctuate at 10 to 15 degrees, 20 degrees, 25 degrees very quickly.
Yeah.
You know?
You can move a bit closer.
Yeah.
Are you vegan as well?
Yeah, I've been vegan since I moved to Portland. I was vegetarian for a long time before that, and then moved to Portland, and it's seriously the easiest city to be vegan in. Everyone has options. We talked about, you know, restaurants that are completely dedicated to being vegan.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's like, it's an easy, fun, and delicious city to be vegan in. So, yeah, my girlfriend's been vegan for like 9 years or something. She stopped eating meat when she, like, altogether when she was like 11. And then when she was like, I don't know, I think like 17 or 18 went vegan or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Have you ever heard of this company called MealPal?
I don't think I have.
It's this new app that came out, and basically they offer various places around the city of Portland different kinds of lunches, and normally those lunches would be $7.50, so they have a deal when it's like $5, and they'll have it ready to go, and you'll just give it to the customer. They'll schedule at a certain time and you'll come pick it up. So you'll pay $55 basically for 12 meals.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and there's also promo deals all the time.
And they can do it anywhere? Like, is it any restaurant?
It could be at any restaurant, I think, as long as it's somewhere in Portland. And then I guess you'll check around the map. So I tried it yesterday, actually.
Yeah?
This place called Thai Pasta 2. It's in that little square where the Central Library is of food carts.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so I tried their chicken pad, sea and egg roll, and it was actually really good.
And so wait, it was $5?
Well, MealPal is doing a little promo thing with me where I'm advertising it on the show, so they give me some free meals.
Okay, yeah, totally.
But yeah, there's a promo deal right now going where it's like 50% off, so it'll actually end up costing like $3.33 per meal or something.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, with the deal and everything.
Wow, how can they make money off that? That's crazy.
I don't know.
That's just cool.
I guess because it's a new app, so they're giving like good promo deals.
Yeah, until they're known or whatever. It's interesting all the apps now with like the food industry, you know.
For you, if you guys would do it, I'd like offer some breadsticks for that or something like
totally,
that.
Totally, yeah.
Just to get them in there.
It's called MealPal?
Yeah, it's called MealPal.
I'll check that out. That's interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah, anybody that's listening to this show, if you want to subscribe to my YouTube channel, I will send you a free voucher for a free meal at MealPal.
So. I might have to take you up on that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
First 5 subscribers, come on.
Nice.
Yeah. So you also said you were a bartender, right?
Yeah, I was a bartender for like 10 years. Like I said, when I was playing in bands and stuff, you know, you kind of do service industry work so you can have time off and you can make a decent amount of money in a short period of time.
Yeah.
I stopped bartending about 6 or 7 months ago. I was working at a bar in Southeast called Side Street Tavern.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was just at a point where I was kind of burned out. I didn't want to do it forever.
Yeah.
It's a really cool bar, and the dude who owns it is like one of the coolest guys. Like, you know, great boss, really supportive. We actually did a pop-up at that bar because he was like, when we were doing the Kickstarter, he's like, well, do a pop-up here and we'll donate 20% of what the bar sells to your Kickstarter.
Yeah.
So really supportive, really awesome dude, great guy to work for. But yeah, I just, my time bartending had come to an end, you know?
Yeah.
It was good while it lasted, but you can establish unhealthy habits doing it.
Yeah. Any crazy stories from that era?
You know, not a ton. The things that happen when you're like, well, I wish that didn't happen. It's always, you know, after midnight, because the bars are open until 2:30.
Yeah.
At that point, my mom always used to say nothing good happens after 11 p.m. And, you know, after bartending, I can kind of speak some truth to that.
Yeah.
You know, people just drink too much. And, you know, the bar that I worked at, it's not like necessarily like a crazy rowdy or clubby bar or anything, but, you know, drunk people will be drunk people and,
yeah,
you know, you have to kick people out and sometimes they act terribly. If you have to cut someone off, sometimes they'll start freaking out, you know? But, Nothing like too crazy. I've only had to call the cops a couple of times. One time this guy came to our patio and just started throwing all the chairs in the middle of the street. You know, and they're plastic chairs and they break easily. So, yeah. But you know, it was a good experience, and it was, you know, it was good. It allowed me to make money and kind of live a life that I wanted to live for when I was doing it. It was good. It was a good experience, and it really helps you develop a way to speak to people, way to, you know, just talk to strangers.
Did you write any songs when you were in the band?
I wasn't really the songwriter. I do write songs, but I have this thing, and I wonder if you experience this too, where you write a song and then you record it, and then the next day you listen to it and you hate everything about it.
All about that.
Yeah, that's sort of like the musician's dilemma, I think.
I think I avoided that last year by making a December 31st deadline and then rushing in the last month to finish. You don't have time to do that. You're just like, I gotta get it out.
Yeah, exactly. That would be good. See, for me, I was never like the songwriter. I write songs, but it wouldn't be like for the band. So I never had pressure to be like, well, if we want to release something, I have to make things, you know?
Yeah.
I wrote drum parts and I had input, but it wasn't like I was the main dude by any means. And in the band I'm in now, it's similar, you know? I'm totally content just being the drummer. But yeah, like, I'll write songs and I'll record them on my phone. My girlfriend plays music too. A lot of times she'll play some stuff over it. Yeah, she's.
What does she play?
Well, she has an Omnichord, and which I don't know if you know what that is. Yeah, it's super, super cool. It's a fun instrument. She also plays a little guitar. She plays a little piano. I taught her some drums. So like we'll jam in our basement. I'll play guitar and she'll play drums.
Record?
We haven't recorded anything, her and I. But yeah, I'll record things on my phone, and then the next day.
You got a drum set though.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah.
You ever do any studio work?
I used to a lot. Like I used to record all the time. But yeah, I mean, my band actually just released a demo. My band's called Safari Club, and we just released a demo. We recorded it all in our practice space. Some in our practice space, then some in the singer's house, and then we moved out of the practice space and moved it into my basement. So we did some down there too.
Yeah.
So we kind of recorded it all over, but yeah, like I'm no stranger to studio work.
What
at all.
Style of music?
It's like garage rock.
Oh. Cool.
Yeah, like straightforward songs. You know, not a ton of bells and whistles, but that's kind of what I listen to now. The bands that I was used to play in, it was like a dream pop kind of thing, like
Beach House.
Like Beach House, but a little more up-tempo. Beach House meets like Animal Collective.
That's your style of drumming, maybe?
Yeah, that used to be. Now it's much more straightforward. I used to, like, I had like one of those Roland SPDSs.
Electric?
Yeah, it was like, I would have an acoustic drum set, but I would have samplers, you know? So I would kind of have a hybrid kit.
What kind of set you got now?
It's like this vintage Japanese company called Dixie. It's like from the 1970s, and I got this pearl snare from like the 70s too.
It's like the old antique stuff.
Yeah, it's cool. I'm not like a total gearhead, but drums, I like them to be old and I like them to be really loud.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about
you? A bunch of mics that for the drum set to mic and record with?
Yeah, so I don't. I like am not super well versed on recording equipment. A guy in my band, Jack, knows a ton about it. He's got all these mics and he tells me about them, but it's like in one ear out the other, you know. I know a general like where mics should be for recording, but like I don't really know a ton about like condenser mics and, you know, all that stuff.
I'd like to know more about it, but
yeah. Well, it seems like you probably know at least a little bit.
I mean, I did go to school for it, but
oh, okay.
I didn't get the best grades, but
yeah.
I mean, I know more than the average Joe, so just knowing that little bit helps.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's fun too. And like with recording drums, you know, I used to be like, everything has to be mic'd. But now it's like, you could have a mic on the kick and the snare, and you have two overheads, and like, that's all you need, you know?
Yeah, the recording quality has gotten so much better, especially since we're doing digital as opposed to analog now.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, for what I'm doing now, like garage rock, it's like, it could be a little more lo-fi. So it doesn't have to necessarily be like crystal clear. I kind of like the whole lo-fi thing. I know that's kind of hot right now, but
I never enjoyed overly polished pop music, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like to hear a mistake and of being a Beatles fan. I saw that you named one of your pizzas after Ringo Starr.
Yeah, so. I got a Beatles tattoo.
Really?
It was my first tattoo ever. Check this out. It's massive. It goes all the way around my leg.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was the first one I ever got. But yeah, total huge Beatles fan. Allegra's a huge Beatles fan too. That was kind of one of the things that we vibed on when we first started dating. But yeah, the Gringo Star. That's like kind of our flagship pizza too. That's kind of a fan favorite.
I just think some people in Portland will be part of the PC culture would complain about that pie. But
like the word gringo?
Yeah.
I had that thought. I don't know though, because it's like...
I think it's tongue-in-cheek, because it's like...
So the thing is, it's a white pizza because it doesn't have sauce on it. And I don't know, I wanted to name it like kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing like that.
Yeah, I think I appreciate it from a comedic point of view.
Yeah. I mean, I hope I don't offend
people. If you have a sense
people.
Of humor, I don't think you're going to be offended by it.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, I really hope we don't offend people. If it really did, honestly, I have no problem like changing the name. I'm not like married to the name.
Yeah.
If it was like offensive, I don't mind changing it, you know?
Yeah.
But I did like the, I don't know, that was like the first one we named. I thought it was funny. I like puns. There's like that band Ringo Death Star.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I mean... We try and come up with like silly names for our pizza, and that's kind of was the flagship one.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, I do recording here, so it would be cool to do something together.
Yeah, absolutely.
It looks like you seem like you have a similar style to me too.
Yeah, totally. So you play like keyboards and bass. It looks like you play.
I play guitar and sing mostly.
Oh, okay, cool.
And I do bass and keyboard on top of that. And the thing is, I can't do drums. I didn't do a lot of drum loops.
Yeah.
But it would be awesome to do live drums again. I have three albums on Spotify.
Oh, whoa.
First one has live drums. I really like how it sounds at live drums. Second one was basically mostly acoustic.
Yeah.
Third one, I was using drum loops, which I like, but it just didn't have that live drum sound.
You know? Yeah, definitely not. It's very like machine-like. You know, it is a machine, you know, a drum machine or whatever. I definitely like live drums. Obviously I have like a bias, but, I mean, drum machines and drum loops and stuff like that, they have their place, you know, like bands like, the Strokes, like early Strokes, they use a lot of that. I think Phoenix did like drum loops for a while.
Yeah. If you have to.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Animal Collective does drum loops, but they also do live drums. I'm definitely more inclined to like, I think like recording now, I've really been into everyone do it live at the same time, you know, except vocals. You know, recording live and just getting that good take.
Appetite for Destruction. They just record it all in the same room together.
Yeah, yeah.
So good.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, I mean, my style of recording and, like, preference for recording has definitely changed. I'm sure it will change again, but... It used to be like, gotta be polished. It's gotta be perfect. I used to play live shows to a click track because I use a lot of samples. But now it's just kind of like you sit down and play.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Watch any sports in Portland while you've been here?
Oh, I love the Blazers. Nice. I wasn't into basketball or sports in general, really, until I moved to Portland.
Yeah.
But like that first year I was here, I can't remember exactly because I wasn't super into it, but like they made the playoffs and it was just so fun. Like the city was just like so alive and like so proud of the basketball team. And I had watched some games and it was really fun, like camaraderie and stuff. And now I'm like really into it. Like I watch games at my house by myself and I have a PlayStation 4. The only game I have is NBA 2K.
you play online?
No, we're not connected to online. I want to get online because I have an older version of it and I want to update the rosters for every team to be how they are now. Like, I still have some of the old players on. That's the thing about basketball is right at when the season ends, players are traded every which way. So it's, you know, the team, my game's only a year old, but half the team that I have on Portland is elsewhere.
Yeah.
So I'd like to update the roster. But yeah, I mean, I really like Blazers basketball. The game last night was insane. I don't know if you watch basketball at all, but
I'm a Knicks fan. So.
Oh, you're a Knicks fan.
I saw them play the Blazers, and at the time they had 10 wins. And then I remember checking the Knicks record like a month later, and it said they had like 11 wins.
Yeah, they're not great this year, but there's rumor that they're going to get Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant.
That's what I've been
next year.
Reading. And a guy on the sixth episode was telling me about that.
But I also read an article this morning that Kevin Durant might be going to the Clippers. So, I mean, if the Knicks get Kyrie, KD, and then if they can draft Zion Williamson from Duke, like, they're going to be a dynasty in a year. If Zion plays,
what pick is he going to be?
He's going to be number one, for
Knicks
sure.
Knicks did that badly.
Yeah. Well, it's like you have to do poorly, and then also you have to win the NBA lottery because their lottery system.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And they have a weird one where it goes back-to-back, right? Like if you have the 10th pick, then you get the 11th pick.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
I don't understand exactly how it works, but it's not just like in football how it's like if you have the worst record, you get the first pick. You still have to have a little bit of luck. But yeah, there's talk of them getting Kyrie, KD, and Zion. So there's hope. There's definitely hope for the New York Knicks. I don't know if it's next year, but maybe the year after. You know?
They couldn't win a championship with Patrick Ewing.
Oh, so yeah.
We'll see what the management can do.
Patrick Ewing was awesome.
He was amazing.
Yeah.
And then Hakeem Olajuwon and the Rockets just said, no, you're not winning a championship.
So
John
close.
Starks was my favorite growing up.
Yeah. I was a big fan of, like, I think every kid in this era was, like, the mid-90s Chicago Bulls.
Alan Parsons' song I always loved. They play behind the Bulls.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, whatever the theme song for the Chicago Bulls is.
Yeah.
It's called Serious by Alan Parsons Project.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
It's like a 2-minute song. Great little keyboard synth riff from the 70s managed to extend all the way out to this day because of that reason.
Yeah, still keeping it alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, mid-90s Bulls with like Rodman, Pippen, who Scottie Pippen was on the Blazers after he was on the Bulls. But yeah, I mean, obviously Michael Jordan. The greatest of all time. Jeb Bushler. I worked at a pizza place down in San Diego when I was when I was a teenager, and Jeb Bushler used to come in there. Very tall man. Taller than you'd even think. Like, you know, you see him on the TV and you're like, yeah, you understand that they're tall, and then you see him in real life and you're like, oh, you're legitimately like 6'9".
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you watch any Game of Thrones?
I didn't. Allegra does. I came home and she had every light in the house out, and she was like in a little fortress in her room streaming Game of Thrones. I've been told by so many people that I need to watch it, and I accept that, but I just don't. I'm so far behind.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think we looked it up, and if I wanted to get caught up, it would be like 3 days of like nonstop watching.
Yeah.
Like no sleeping, nothing. It would be something like 72 hours or something like that. I would love to. And I mean, honestly, I'm always like, I don't have time. I totally have time. I like have watched The Office like 10 times through.
Yeah.
I should. And I just, every time I talk to someone about it, I always say the same thing. I'm always like, I really should. Maybe I'll do it. Maybe this will be the thing that inspires me to. Are you a Game of Thrones person?
Yeah, I've been watching. The last episode was pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, I hear the series is just amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like fantasy kind of I guess it's not sci-fi, but if you like that kind of genre, you'll probably definitely be into it.
Yeah, totally.
As far as medieval, no one does it better. It's quality.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a reason that it's like religiously watched by so many people. Wasn't it? I think it set a record for that season premiere this year of how many people watched
this year.
Yeah
I hadn't even known that it came out until a guest told me like yesterday.
Oh, no way.
On Monday. Yeah. And I was like, cool, right after this I'm gonna watch that.
Did it live up to your expectation?
It was good, but as usual, you know, the first couple episodes just build.
Yeah.
Are you watching anything right now?
We just started watching High Maintenance on HBO. I watch a lot of
the weed dealer one.
Yeah. It's pretty funny. I like it. It tells a lot of different stories of like people living in New York.
It's good. The main character is so deadpan. It's kind of got to get used to that.
Like, totally.
He's just like got the way he acts. It's like, he doesn't have to really try. He's just like a normal guy. You got to get used to it.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Like I said, I've watched The Office like 1,000 times through. It's kind of, I need to stop doing that. It's one of those things where it's like when we lay down to go to bed, I'm like, we'll just put on an episode of The Office and like immediately fall asleep or whatever.
Well, if they do a reunion, that'll come in handy.
Yeah, totally.
They're talking about that.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And on top of that, the Breaking Bad movie with Jesse, have you heard?
No.
Yeah, they're going to make it for sure. It's going to be a sequel, and they're going to show what happened to Jesse.
No way.
Yeah, I'm excited, man.
I'm excited, but that also makes me nervous. I'm like, it better not ruin it.
I don't think so. Vince Gilligan, because he does such a good job with Better Call Saul.
That's true.
He won't ruin it for that reason.
Yeah, Better Call Saul is amazing.
And Aaron Paul has proven to me, after I watched The Path on Hulu, that he can act, man.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
I haven't seen Need for Speed, but
he's talented dude for sure.
He is.
The character development in Breaking Bad is incredible. Like, obviously, you know, Walter White is like, that's like, in my opinion, one of the greatest of all times.
He is.
That character development is amazing. But, you know, Jesse, Aaron Paul, he does a lot of the way he changes throughout the series.
Yeah, it's kind of polar opposites. I was just watching the second to last episode, and Walter White is the biggest jerk, and he was just like cold, and by that time he's just a shell of a human being. And then Jesse was like that, and now he's more human. It's funny how they both switched roles.
Yeah, I wonder if in the movie he'll go on to become a chemistry teacher.
Right? Or if, like, he becomes evil eventually.
Yeah, totally.
That's
full circle.
One of my podcasters that I like, Colin Moriarty, he was talking about how it would have been interesting if Luke would have turned evil. It would have been more interesting than the way they did it in Star Wars.
Okay,
but
yeah.
But people wouldn't accept that.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
But it would have made more sense because that's what happened with Anakin.
Yeah. But yeah.
Did you watch it?
I haven't seen all of the Star Wars. I've seen like most of them. I didn't see the one that had like Jar Jar Binks in it. I always get the titles confused.
Yeah.
I heard that he was the worst prequels. Character. Yeah.
They said that was racist.
Oh,
it was
really?
Like a black character basically, except it was Jar Jar, yeah.
Oh.
That's what I read.
Okay. Interesting.
And I also read that about Avatar later there, but like they said it was basically like Lion King and it was just like in the jungle. I don't know.
I thought that Avatar, like the avatars were supposed to sort of represent like indigenous people in America.
Yeah, yeah.
And how like Americans came in and, you know, did like terrible things. I don't know, though. It's been a long time since I've seen Avatar. I remember I saw it in theaters when it came out, and I really, really liked it.
Yeah, they're supposed to make five more. At least five. And, yeah, I remember I was watching Walking Dead, the spinoff, Fear of Walking Dead.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, well, that's interesting. It was like season three, and one of the main characters just gets killed in the first or second episode. And I'm like, that's weird. And it was like the best character, like the father character.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm never watching this show again.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I wonder what he's going to do next. And then it said he was signed up for Avatars 2 through 5. So I was like,
wow.
Oh, I guess that's why he left the show. He's busy.
Oh, he wanted his character to be killed off, or he needed it.
Yeah, he needed it. He's going to be busy. Exactly.
Yeah. He's signed on for 4 more movies.
But they're sure taking a long break, man. It's like people are even, it's like, how are you going to get all the people to watch Avatar again? That seems
And like,
it was in the 3D era.
Yeah, totally. And like, what if the first two movies totally flop? Like, are they going to continue with the next two?
And Avatar works so well because 3D was just coming out. And I think they're going to need to do VR if they're going to make this work.
Yeah, totally.
How else could they do it? They need that technology to make Avatar work.
Yeah.
And that was the best 3D that I remember to this day. I mean,
what year was that? Was that like 2010 or something?
I assume everything from 3D was from 2011, so I assume it's from there.
Yeah. Totally. Gosh, that seems like, I guess it was like 9 years ago or something.
Yeah, it's like
8 years ago.
When the Nintendo 3DS came out, same deal. It was all 3D crazy.
Yeah.
Would you ever get a Nintendo Switch?
I never, you know, the PS4 is the only, when I was a kid, I had N64.
Yeah.
Which was great. I love that. My siblings and I played that all the time. But then I never got another system until I got the PS4. So, yeah, I'm not like, a super avid gamer, but I mean, video games are fun.
Did you play Tetris?
Growing up? Totally. Yeah, Tetris.
They have a Tetris 99 game.
Oh, no way.
And it's Battle Royale of Tetris on Nintendo Switch.
Oh, whoa.
And all you have to do is pay for the online, and you could play against 98 other players. That's why it's called Tetris 99. And you just have to do better than 98 other people and try to get first place.
Yeah, the dude who owns the pizza cart that I work at is, like, stupidly good at Tetris. He's always bragging about it, too.
He probably plays that.
Yeah, he's really, really good at
Tetris. To even get first place in Tetris 99, it's an incredible feat. So if he could pull that off, then I'd believe it.
Yeah, my brother had, like, the original Nintendo, like, that gray one.
Yeah.
Growing up, and we had Tetris... Contra. I don't know if you ever played Contra.
Loved Contra.
Yeah, Contra was the best.
I was just reading a Wikipedia article and I was like, oh yeah, that had something to do with Reagan. And I was growing up, I had no idea.
Oh yeah,
I never. I watched the Netflix special. And I was like, oh yeah,
that's so interesting. I never even made the connection.
Yeah, and I actually, my friend told me that that's not related to the same Contra thing or something.
Oh really? Like the Iran Contra?
I didn't know what the hell. Yeah, Contra didn't mean anything. It was like a that's what it means to me. It's a video game.
That's what it means to me too. Is like, yeah.
But I think it's just like a soldier that's paid to do work that the military would normally do, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah. Did you know the code in Contra to get 30 lives?
Up, up, down, down, A, B, A, B. Select start if you're playing with two players, but I guess start.
Yeah.
But always known as select start.
Yeah, select start if you're playing with two players.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
On Nintendo as well, if you get a Switch, basically if you get online, you get access to like 20 Nintendo games to play for free too.
If you can do the code?
If you just pay for it in Nintendo Online.
Oh, whoa.
You can play, not Contra, but they give you a bunch of games like River City Ransom, Mario 3, you know, Ninja Gaiden, all these original Nintendo games you can play.
Just, yeah.
It's pretty cool, man.
That's
Excite
awesome.
Excite Bike, yeah.
Excite Bike.
You can play your friends online.
Uh-huh.
It's really cool.
Rad.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming in, man.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me. This was super fun.
Yeah.
You're doing a cool thing here.
I might just stop by to get some pizza.
Yeah, May 5th at Rogue. Very cool. Yeah. And then June 1st is the opening of the cart in Montevilla. Baby Blue Pizza.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe work out a deal with Meal Pal.
Yeah, right? Maybe I'll email them or something.
Yeah. Well, what I had to do is I emailed them, didn't get an answer. If you don't get an answer, tweet at them. Then they will email their support team.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So tweeting does work for businesses quite well.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much.